Good morning, guys. I'm Nick Baker. I'm your host, and you're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. It's been an amazing week. This past Sunday was our pageant, Christmas pageant. I want to thank you all for coming, fellows who listen to this podcast, and I thank you for donating to our ministry to take care of the foster care kids. I started a new series called A Walk to Remember. And it's a pretty amazing series I started. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version.
December 27th, Thursday, Israel.
This morning I'm going to be talking about love and what the movie means and the purpose of that movie, Walk to Remember. I think Mandy Moore is a great actress. I think she did a good job playing Jamie Sullivan. What I like about Jamie Sullivan is that she is different than her father is. Her father is a pastor, Reverend Sullivan, who has issues with loving people. I have the same problem as Reverend Sullivan does. There are other problems I do have compared to the other characters in the movie as well. Landon Carter. Landon also has a problem with communication. Verbal communication, like being verbally abusive to people. And making fun of people, and I have the same problem as that young man does. And if you remember that movie, it's always played around this time of year, one of my favorite songs by Amy Grant, Breath of Heaven, is in that movie. And it's sang by Mandy Moore, who plays Jamie Sullivan, the pastor's daughter. You know what it's like to be a father, to do the right thing to protect your daughter from a man who's verbally abusive and likes to post pictures with comments all over the pictures saying that, oh, this person's a loser, that's a loser, and that. I don't remember the comments that Carter has written on those comments, but he posted it all over the school, in the gym locker room, the lockers, and then the classrooms, the classroom doors, the cafeteria. Until God just slapped him on the side of the head, saying that, "Hey, Landon, do you know what you're doing to your pastor's daughter? If you truly love her, why are you making rude comments about her, spreading rumors about her in the school?" Let's go to Psalms 31. I love how David talked about love, and I love David. He's one of my favorite role models in the scriptures, and I'm gonna be looking at what Jesus talked about as well. Let's look at David real quick. Chapter 31, verse 23. Says, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repay the proud person. And what David is saying in the scripture is that we take too much pride in ourselves, and we do. We pull ourselves away from Jesus, and we should be with Jesus, and we should focus on Jesus. And what I like about Jamie is that she has the full love for Jesus. A Walk to Remember is a Christian-based movie. And knowing that what Reverend Sullivan talked about is love, and in the beginning of the movie, he didn't even talk about love. He talked about hate, until Jamie just said, "Hey, Dad, why not talk about love? It's Christmas time, why not talk about love?" What made him change his heart was when she got sick with leukemia. That changed his heart. That changed Landon's heart too, when the girl came down with cancer. And knowing that how hard it is to realize what we're doing is not of God. We're judgmental, and my best friend Will is like Jamie, and she teaches me how to love one another and not judge other people. And every time I see that movie, every Christmas season I see that movie, I remind myself, stop judging people. Use Jamie as an example to love one another. Why do you have to judge people? And that's a question I always ask myself, that. Always. And every time I have to bite my tongue. Every time Jamie talks about why not love each other as family. And there are times that I have to slap myself in the back of the head and saying that, "Hey, dummy, do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize what you're doing? Wake up." What does Jesus say? Love each other. Love each other. Love your enemies. Love your neighbors. Love strangers. Every time I see a veteran, I just go up to him and hug him. And tell him how much I love him. How much he's loved by Jesus. And that movie reminds me how to love each other, especially the ones that I can't stand. But love them. And I don't even go by the example of what the movie has given me. Let's look at Jesus and what he says about love. Before I go there, I want to open up with prayer. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for that movie that you have me watch, walk to remember, and how to create a good memory, Father. I thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I thank you for the love that you give us and that you show us how to love each other. Jesus, I'm guilty of not loving each other. I'm guilty for these things I have done wrong. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to repent my sins, Father. And I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. I pray, amen. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Actually, Matthew 5:44. It says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verse 14. And I'm going to get there in a moment. But I do want to focus on this. I do want to focus on what Jesus talked about. Brother Graham said this one time, that pray for your future husband. I'm talking to the ladies here. Pray for your future husband. He's out there. He is. Gentlemen, your future wife is out there. All you have to do is pray. Let's go to Romans 12. I want to see what Paul says. Romans 12, verse 14. And it says that, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless those, and bless and do not curse." And that is amazing what Paul says here. How to love each other. How to to protect one another. Protect your best friend. Show your best friend the love that he or she deserves. Knowing how hard it is, there are bumps in the road that we face every day. We have to focus on the example that Paul and Jesus and David has set up for us. We have to love. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of my favorites. I want to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "Though I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish things. For now we see in the mirror, dimly, but the face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And we have to follow the example of Paul. We have to follow the example of love and what the purpose of love is. And we have to. And we don't focus on the purpose of love. We focus too much on ourselves. We focus too much on our pride. Our sins, our lust. We have lust in our eyes, and we don't even know it. We don't even realize what we're doing is wrong. And we have to focus on what is wrong, and what we're doing wrong, and how to change our ways in the name of Jesus. And we have to change our ways. We have to change our thoughts. We have to change the way we love each other. We have to change the way we talk about each other. We have to change the ways that we think of each other. Get rid of the hate. Get rid of the negativity. We have to focus on how to love each other. I'm not doing this not for nothing. I'm doing it because Jesus is telling me and to tell you to love each other. Focus on the orphans and widows. Give to the poor. Give to them. Give to those who need to know the truth. Need to know the purpose of love. We have to love each other. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing this. I'm telling you. I'm here to tell you to love each other. To love your neighbors. Love your siblings. Your aunts. Your uncles. Your grandmothers. Your grandfathers. Your aunts. Your mothers. Your fathers. Your mother-in-law. Your father-in-law. Your spouse. Love them. Love, 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 love. That's all I'm asking, is to love. I'm telling you, you see a difference in your life when you love. Love each other. When Dave tells us to love each other, we have to do it. And I don't even follow the example of what Dave is saying. We have to love. And love each other. We have to pray for each other. Pray for the ones we love. We have to. We have to. We have to pray for those that we love. I pray for Noel all the time. I pray for Dave Hansen all the time. I pray for Paul and Jan Butler all the time. And I pray for you. Pray. Love each other. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Good morning, guys. I'm Nick Baker, and you're listening to Becoming More Than I Am Now. And it's a beautiful day with the Lord. Now that is cold out, but I know that Jesus keeps us warm during winter time, always. But I'd like to look over a few scriptures this morning and to remind ourselves the importance of what Jesus wants us to do and how to overcome our challenges that we face every day. I'd like to look at the book of John. And I want to remind ourselves the purpose of life and the purpose of what is happening in our country and and what is going on with our residents, our citizens in America, and why they are murdering unborn children. I was listening to the news the other night was yesterday. Was listening to the news. Governor Cuomo was talking about the new bridge, the new Tapestry Bridge. He was talking about Roe versus Wade. He was talking about abortion, legalizing abortion in New York. Women's right to choose to murder her child. Including the ones with Down syndrome. The enemy is trying to attack us in any way, shape, or form. Knowing that we have a developmental disability. When the doctor finds the diagnosis of a baby in a womb, sees that it has Down syndrome, and the doctor says, kill this baby. You know what a woman should say? All women should say this. No, I'm not going to abort this baby. Because I am going to have this baby. And I will take care of it. No matter what. If it has a disability or not. Like my buddy, Marty. Marty Cuffone. He's a pastor of a church, well, in Pennsylvania, Mount Morris. His niece is the founder of America's Special Kids Ministries. She has a son who has multiple disorders. He has Down syndrome and he has a severe autism. And the doctors told this woman, Joanne, to murder her child. As a woman, as a Christian woman, woman of God, she tells the doctor, no. She is not going to murder that child. I met his niece. And I met his great nephew. His great nephew is a very intelligent young man. I love the Down syndrome. I love the way they are. I see Jesus in them. I think people with Down syndrome are amazing people. I think they're cool. I enjoyed spending time with them. Getting to know them. Getting a chance to make disciples with them. And that's what we should do this morning. Is to make disciples with any person with special needs. Autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, Asperger's, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they have, what kind of personality they have, but to love them as Jesus does. Jesus commands us to love. Jesus wants us to love. Jesus wants us to love those with a disability or not. There are people out there with special needs that are going to churches that are being rejected as we speak right now, this morning on this podcast. These churches see an individual with special needs and says, "Get out of my church." There's a family that my brother Dave Hanson knows who has a special needs child going to several churches and get rejected. They go to that church, they get rejected. They go to that church, get rejected. Go to another church, get rejected. Why? Because the child has special needs. What kind of church does that? That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I am starting an organization called Hope for the Disabled, so that every church could create a ministry for special needs. Get them into a program that I want to be in. Any agency there is. And I'm predicting this morning. Every service coordinator is going to become a care coordinator. And that care coordinator is going to train these pastors to be care coordinators as well. And to care for each and every individual in their church. Every pastor is going to be a care coordinator. Every pastor would be one. Every pastor is going to be a comhab worker. And spend some time with the individual that goes to the church. Take them out into the community. Spend some time with them. With that individual. Make disciples with that individual. And show them and tell them that Jesus loves them. And I predict that this morning on the podcast. That every pastor is going to be a comhab worker. Every pastor is going to be a job coach. Helping that individual with a disability to find a job that they want. I'm not protecting all pastors to be comhab and job coach at the same time, but I'm protecting half of them. Why am I protecting that? Because my latest prediction was, 2 years ago, that a pastor would be a drop coach. And guess what? There is a pastor in my agency, Chris One Village, is a drop coach. Guess what he's doing? He's making disciples, and he's loving that individual that he spends time with. My buddy John, my drop coach, told me that a buddy of his is a pastor. And guess what? My prediction came true. My prediction came true. And I am going to meet that gentleman. And I'm hoping this week to meet him. And get a chance to meet him. And welcome him to the family of Tri-State Family Credit Center. This show
is the reason why this church, the gathering of Point Reyes, New York, is growing, succeeding. This show is the reason why every person that listens to this podcast and watches my TV show come here every Sunday morning. This show is the reason why we have kids that come to Tyler time on Thursday morning and come Friday night for playtime, Saturday morning for the public. We're open to the public every weekend. We do birthday parties here. We do horseback riding. We have an orphan ministry that I keep begging my listeners to donate to. And I am asking you to donate this morning. Tri-State Family Care Center, P.O. Box 3113, Port Jefferson, New York. Our zip code is 12771. And those kids need a home. They do. Oh, Holland Orphan Walk. Gonna be launched this spring. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And I ask you to donate to this ministry. Tri-State Family Credit Center, P.O. Box 3113. Port Jefferson, New York, 12771. I'm gonna give you our address again. P.O. Box 3113, Port Jefferson, New York. And that is our address. Please donate to us. I'm not asking you to tithe, because we don't tithe in this church. We don't take offerings in this church. But to love. Love those who need to be loved. Those who want to be loved. Every child that don't have a home, that are on the streets. My focus is on those kids this morning. And we have to love them. You can come here personally and donate to us. Do you know how many families that have a birthday party that donate to the ministry, that wants to adopt a child? Josiah, Camp Josiah, it's an amazing camp. I love that camp. And those kids meet their foster parents at that camp. I've seen kids adopted at that camp. I see a young woman who's a counselor here surprised the little girl with a paper that was signed by the courts. Saying that she has been adopted. And I wanted to see more kids adopted. May 5th. Cinco de Mayo. I want to see all of them adopted on that day.
I want to see more. And let us see kids adopted every summer by our camp counselors. And I want to see more. Not just at camp during the summertime, but I want to see them adopted here at Ohana Orphan Day. And that is on a Sunday. And I do want to see them adopted. Doesn't matter what disability they have. They are special needs kids out there who are rejected by their biological parents, biological families, because of a disability they have. My friend Nancy, thanks to her nephew here, who's severely autistic. Severely autistic. And she's raising him as her own. That's her great nephew. Why? Because her niece refuses to be in his life. What kind of parent does that? I'm blessed to have a mother who loves me, not that I have cerebral palsy. She always has been there for me. All the surgeries I had, from my eye surgeries, my leg surgeries, my dorsal vagotomy, I had 20 of them. 20 surgeries. And my mother has been right there since then. My dorsal vagotomy was the worst surgery that I ever had. The worst. Why is it worst? Can you imagine an 8-year-old child saying, "Mommy, mommy, I'm falling, falling. Mommy, mommy, get those spiders off me. Those anesthetic." Is making that child delusional. Having hallucinations. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the pain that you would go through as your 8-year-old son cries out to you? Imagine that. Imagine that. Ladies and gentlemen, those who are listening to the podcast, listen to the cries of those children. Listen to them. Verse 39 of John, chapter 1 says, "He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. This guy, Philip, was telling his brother about Jesus. And Jesus said, 'Come and see.' It is amazing that Jesus wants us to see him, to see the Father.
Verse 40 says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon the son of Jonah. He shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. The same thing that Jesus said. Jesus saw Nathanael come toward him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How amazing is that? How did Nathanael know the prophecy of Isaiah that he was going to be the King of Israel, especially the same thing that the wise men asked where is he who was born King of Jews? Verse 50 says, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And I'm going to stop there. That is amazing thought to have. And we should have that feeling. We should think about Jesus and the importance of his kingdom and why he wants us to be his children. He sees us as little children. Look around you in your house. Look at the children you have. And those who are teachers, and you're listening to the podcast this morning on your website, on the computer, look around your classroom. Look at how many children are in your classroom this morning. And that's what God sees you as. Children. Little children. That's what he sees you guys as. He sees you as children. You are his children. Yes, we have failed in your lives. Yes, we have failed as children of God. I have failed. Oh, yes, I have. I've made mistakes. And I regret it. I regret the mistakes I made. Listen to me carefully. I want you to understand that this is not a joke. You guys think that is a joke. Oh, whatever, I made a mistake. Yeah, whatever. Not going to regret it. How the hell you won't? The hell you won't regret it. You will regret every mistake you make. And that you have made. Why? Because God has forgiven you. If you don't repent of your sins, of every mistake you made, you will regret it down the road. There are mistakes that I made that I thought I wasn't going to regret. Now I'm starting to see. Now I'm suffering the consequences by my Heavenly Father. Why? Because the daughter's drunk. Or it's laughing it off. Three years later, after how I treated my best friend well, the jealousy I had in my eyes, why, because she was talking to her best friend that used to be her ex, used to be her boyfriend at the time, but they're still friends. And I should respect that. Now she's no longer talking to him because of my stupidity. My jealousy. And I regret it. Being verbally abusive to her. Not just her, but towards my mother. That's why God sent me to the hospital twice. Why did he send me to the hospital twice? Because he backed away from me. And let the enemy, Lucifer, come into my soul, to my body, to make me sick. And I didn't even figure it out what the sickness was. That's what the devil does. It makes you sick. And you don't even realize it. If you sin against God and you don't even repent of your sins, guess what? He's gonna back away from you and he's gonna let the enemy come into you, into your body. Create every disease that he wants to create in you. The FOMA or Lyme disease or whatever he wants to create in you. Sarcoidosis, whatever. Whatever. Cellulitis, whatever. Not in a hospital bed, I felt rejected. I felt empty. I felt that the presence of God wasn't there. And that's what's going to happen. If you don't want to get sick, you don't want to be in that hospital bed, you don't want needles in you, repent of your sins right now. Repent of your sins. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus would show you the way. Jesus will. And I asked Jesus to come into my life in that hospital bed twice. Twice I was in that hospital bed. Two different hospitals. One's regional in Westchester. And I cried out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry of my sins. Sorry how I treated the well. I'm sorry that I was verbally abusive to her. I'm sorry that I was verbally abusive to my mother. Repent of your sins right now, ladies and gentlemen. Big Scott would pull away from you. When you're in a hospital bed regretting of your sins, that every IV being pricked with those needles by every doctor that wakes you up, every nurse that wakes you up every 4 hours, you go, oh, Jesus, why am I in here? That's what I did. Why am I in this hospital? Twice. Why? Why me? Guess what Jesus would say? Because you didn't come to me. You did not come to me. And I had the enemy coming to you to create every disease that he wanted to create. Come to him. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to close in prayer this morning. I'm going to lead you guys into prayer. Fellows who are in the hospital and you're sick with whatever disease that the enemy has given you, ask Jesus to come into your life right now. That's right. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for giving me a second chance. Give me the opportunity to make my relationship stronger with the world and the family. I repent of my sins right now this morning, Father. Thank you for those who are listening to this podcast, that are lying in a hospital bed saying that, why me, Lord? Why do I have to suffer? Same question as I asked you. And I thank you this morning, Jesus, for the cross. I thank you for giving every one of us a second chance. And I just ask that for those who are listening in that hospital bed right now, Father, just give them a second chance. Give them a second chance. Second chance to get to know you
and to be in the kingdom. In the shining name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Fellows who are listening to the podcast, your eyes are closed, every head bowed. Repeat this prayer after me right now. To say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me a brand new person. Help me turn away from my sins. And to follow you from this moment forward. Amen. You pray that prayer, you're going to see a difference in your life. Jesus is giving you a second chance. He is. Why? Because he loves you. And thank you for listening. God bless. And remember to keep strength, keep faith, love God.